If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at radiomd.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. We have a great guest, but usually I will introduce the guest and then we'll talk to her. But this time I'm going to ask her a question first, because this question explains a lot about the book. That is, Amy, why did you write the book?
Great question. I'm a therapist by trade, and so I've always been interested in the concept of mental strength. But a few years after I started working as a therapist, my journey with mental strength really became personal. My mother had passed away suddenly from a brain aneurysm, and I was still working as a therapist while I was privately working on my grief, and which certainly was a difficult thing to do. And a few years after she had passed away, my husband, at the age of 26, suddenly passed away from a heart attack. And again, found myself publicly trying to help other people deal with their problems while I was very privately dealing with my own grief. And so I certainly was very invested in mental strength and how to be as strong as I possibly could. And if you fast forward a few more years, I had just gotten remarried when my father-in-law was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And unlike when I'd lost my mother and my husband, this time I knew what was coming. And where I had lost them in very sudden and unexpected circumstances, this time I really knew, okay, he probably has a few months to live at best. And so I sat down and I wrote this list of the 13 things mentally strong people don't do as a letter to myself about all the bad habits that could really hold me back and keep me from facing my circumstances with as much courage and strength as I knew it was going to take to get through it. And when I published it, I chose to publish it to the web thinking, maybe it'll help somebody else. And it went viral. And within a few days, Forbes had picked it up and it's gone on to reach about 10 million people on their website. And so from that, I got a call from a literary agent who said, you need to write the book. So that's why I wrote it.
And in fact, that's a great story because it is your personal story. So Amy Morin is a licensed clinical social worker. She's a college psychology instructor and a psychotherapist. And she really was the first person and maybe the only person to talk about mental strength on a global level. And she lives in Maine where the flu is running rampant now. But in any case, now tell me where Enfield, Maine is. Is it on the north part or southern part?
Kind of smack dab in the middle. I'm about an hour from the ocean, about an hour from Bangor, which is the biggest, nearest city, I guess, from here.
And you also serve as About.com's parenting teen expert and discipline expert and a contributor to Forbes. Now, some of the things that... if you will, the our mental strength are one of the things that we also find in people who get a do-over on their health. They don't waste time feeling sorry for themselves. That is, they forgive themselves the past and they go on to the future. And that's necessary in all of health. But what do you mean by they don't give away their power?
That one is really about sort of our personal power. I think so often we want to blame other people or blame our circumstances for how we think, feel, or behave. So somebody might say, my boss makes me really mad, or my boss makes me work late. But the issue is that, first of all, nobody can make you feel anything. So to take back that power and really own how you feel, and other people might influence how you feel, but to say, nobody's going to make me feel anything is really empowering. And also to then say that nobody can make you do anything. Maybe there's a consequence if you don't do what your boss tells you to do, so you choose to do it. Or maybe there's a consequence if you don't invite your mother-in-law over for dinner. Or if you don't do those certain things in life, maybe something bad will happen. But it's still a choice. And sometimes just recognizing, okay, I'm choosing to do this today. Maybe it's not something you want to do, but you're choosing to do it to avoid the consequence. And sometimes just changing your language can make all the difference in the world to your attitude.
Now, one of the things that you also state, by the way, this is from the book, The 13 Things Mentally Strong People Don't Do. The other one that I thought was very interesting is they don't fear alone time. That's number 11. What do you mean by that?
I think we've gotten so caught up with technology and our digital world that it becomes so easy to constantly have this noise, whether we're listening to a podcast or we're watching TV or we're using social media to be connected with people, that it's so many of us just forget to take time out just to sit and be alone with our thoughts. You know, as a therapist, I work with so many people who have trouble sleeping, and they're sleeping with the TV on because they just can't stand the silence, or they can't stand to be sort of subjected to whatever goes on in their mind, and they're always trying to drown it out. And so I think it's really important for us to take a break, even if it's just 10 minutes a day, to be alone with your thoughts, to really think about the day, think about your progress, what your goals are, where you want to go, how you're doing. All those sorts of things to check in with ourselves, I think, is hugely important and can make all the difference in the world to our future goals and creating the kind of life that we want to do. But for a lot of people, it's really hard to unplug and unwind that way.
Well, is that concept just about unwinding and unplugging, meaning being alone and being meditating, as you say, or, which I think is very important, don't get me wrong, or is there also being alone, can you be more productive? For instance, when you write the book, you had to be alone, I imagine, for a fair bit of the time writing. And is that one of the things that strong people fear is being alone and working hard at something by themselves without background noise on, et cetera?
Yeah, I think definitely that it can be that as well. And I think even on a bigger level, sometimes people are afraid of not being in a relationship. They stay in a bad relationship because the fear of being alone is so big that they just can't tolerate it. So they stay in a bad situation. I think there's definitely lots of different levels of how deeply rooted that fear of being alone is. Absolutely.
Now, someone has written in and said, did you feel like when these first two things happened to you, I guess you had a two, quote, tragedies in a very short period of time. Did you feel that you were being singled out for something?
Oh, you know, there was times, absolutely, that I just kept thinking, why does this have to happen to me? Why do bad things have to happen in my life? And that's part of the reason why when I created this list, because it was very easy for me to feel like, I guess, to experience some self-pity and start to think, you know, my life is terrible, horrible, or worse than other people's, or my problems are bigger than other people's, which isn't true. My life is certainly not particularly special compared to the other problems everyone else in the world has. But I think when we get caught up in that emotional state, it becomes really easy to feel sorry for ourselves. And I certainly wasn't immune to that at times.
But that is one of the things you state. In fact, that's number one chapter, if you will, is they don't waste time feeling sorry for themselves.
Right. And I always try to remind people that self-pity and grief or sadness are two very separate things, and that it's okay to feel bad when something bad happens. But self-pity is more than that. It's about dwelling on the problem and exaggerating and thinking these catastrophic ways about how really terrible and horrible and awful life is. And so, and that's what keeps us stuck when you start thinking that way. And then it really changes your behavior too, because when we feel sorry for ourselves, we don't work on a solution. We just choose to stay stuck in our own misery, basically.
We've been talking, and when we come back from the break, we'll be continuing this conversation with Amy Morin, M-O-R-I-N. The website is Amy Morin, L-C-S-W, licensed social worker, licensed clinical social worker, L-C-S-W, Amy, M-O-R-I-N, L-C-S-W.com is her website. The book, wonderful book, The 13 Things Mentally Strong People Don't Do, and we'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show on RadioMD.com. Stay well.
Hello, everybody.
everybody. This is Dr. Suzanne Bennett. Are you truly fed up with that fat tummy? That growing muffin top which makes you feel bloated, sick and tired all the time? Then I have the answer for you. I am so ready to share my Flat Sexy Belly program so you can get rid of that swollen belly and at the same time feeling fabulous and energized the all-natural way. In my Flat Sexy Belly deep dive, you will heal your gut and at the same time lose weight, improve your energy, sharpen your mental focus, and even sleep deeper. Go to drsuzanne.com/FSB and enter promo code radio at the checkout for half off the program price. Again, that's drsuzanne.com/FSB and use the promo code radio. Get ready for the new you.
Radio with Dr. Pamela Peek, MD.
We're talking about loving ourselves. You know, how many times have we seen women looking for external validation? This is pretty common, isn't it, Dr. Thomas?
This is really what I call the pain point for human beings.
And Michelle King Robeson.
Ambien now is the first drug in the country where it's a different dose for men than women. The first one.
The naked truth about women.
Pay attention to your body. Okay, that's number one. And that's like a, what I call a KGO, keen grasp of the obvious. Okay, let's do it. Now, what's the next one? Come on, Michelle, let's rock and roll.
No processed foods. If you can't pronounce it, you can't eat it. Okay.
And then get your annual exams. You know the ones you've canceled 13 times already? Okay.
Live every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern and always on demand at RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio Talk, and the free TuneIn Radio app. Stay well. Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike Roizen, and we're talking with Amy Morin, M-O-R-I-N, Amy Morin, LCSW.com. Amy's the author of a wonderful new book, just came out, 13, and did hit the bestseller list in Hudson and Indy, 13 Things Mentally Strong People Don't Do. It started as a blog with 10 million views on Forbes.com, and so it went viral, if you will. She just wrote it as a letter to help her get over her own issues, if you will, or her own tragedies and what she remembered from them. The 13 things mentally strong people don't do. So one obvious question is, can you have mental illness? Can you be depressed and still be mentally strong? Can you have bipolar disease and still be mentally strong? What's the difference between mental illness and mental strength, Amy?
Yeah, you absolutely can have those things. In fact, some of the most mentally strong people I've met have been people who've come into my office who maybe have depression or anxiety or some other mental health issue. But and I always tell people, too, mental strength, it's a lot like physical strength. We all have the power to become stronger. And just like if somebody, say, had diabetes or some sort of chronic pain issue, maybe that would be a complicating factor in developing more physical strength, but they could certainly do it. If somebody with diabetes can go to the gym and work out just like anybody else can. So when it comes down to depression and anxiety and those sorts of things, people can still make choices that help them become mentally stronger. They may have some more complicating factors, but it's definitely possible.
And I assume it is much tougher if you're depressed to be mentally strong because you have to kind of gird yourself up so you don't feel more depressed and waste more time feeling sorry for yourself.
Yeah, there's times that, you know, to become stronger, it takes every fiber of your being to get up and get out of bed and do those things that are going to be helpful to you. So it certainly does make it a complicating factor, but it's completely possible to do.
Are kids better able to do this? In other words, do all of us have this when we're young? I mean, when I was reading one of the top stories of the week is of the Norwegian kids, and who routinely use three devices in a day, three electronic devices, and they're sleeping only 5 hours a night. And I was saying, well, it's probably because they're trying to get up so quickly and do more work. And I was wondering, are kids naturally mentally strong and we lose some of it someplace along the line?
Oh, good question. You know, I think we probably do have in childhood, we probably do have a lot of built-in resilience and built-in mental strength. And then I think a lot of what goes on in our childhood can either help us build our mental muscle more, or it can cause us to break it down too. And so as an adult, for some people, it's much easier if you had a childhood that was more prone to building mental strength. Becomes much easier as an adult because it's sort of this more innate thing of what to do and what types of things to avoid. But kids who didn't have that start, you know, as an adult, it's going to take some more time. I guess a lot like physical health again. Kids that grew up in homes where physical health was a priority, it's going to be easier to be a healthy adult.
And I'm going through some of the emails people have been sending to find some questions that I like that are easy enough to answer in a finite period of time, because all we have is a finite period of time. But one of them is that people don't give up. One of the chapters is they don't give up after the first failure. And we've often had this thing on about Silicon Valley relishes failure, whereas much of the rest of the country doesn't. That is, two or three failures seem to make the Silicon Valley entrepreneur even more valuable. Mm-hmm. How do we get that in the rest of the country?
Well, I think it's changing the way that we view failure, because I think the people that are really successful in life don't view failure as the end of the road. Instead, they just view it as a learning opportunity and something to make them stronger. But I think for the rest of us, you know, our mistakes and sometimes failure has become this shameful thing, but so to switch our mindset and to be able to just remind ourselves that failure is often part of a long journey to success, and often you're going to fail 5, 6, maybe 10, 100 times, but that doesn't have to be the end of the road, and it becomes more of looking at your journey as a marathon instead of a sprint, so to know that you're going to fail along the way if you want to become super successful in life.
And that's part of number 13, if you will, as well, that people who are mentally strong are in it for the long run rather than the short run. And again, there's a real health parallel here. That is, people who are in life and are choosing to, if you will, live a long time and live healthy, look at long-term gains rather than the short-term effects. So the people who are mentally strong don't expect immediate results. Tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, I think technology has been one of those things that makes us really used to getting things at the touch of a button, and we think things should happen overnight, but real growth and personal change doesn't happen like that, and it's not about where you need to be by next week or tomorrow or today, but it's to be able to say, okay, what is it I want to change? And just like you said, if somebody wants to change their physical health, you're not going to lose 100 pounds in 1 month. Well, same with mental strength. You're not going to become mentally strong in 1 week. Instead, you need to say, well, what can I do to start changing my life? And don't look at it as something that has to happen right now. And to know that progress isn't always in a straight line. Sometimes we take 2 steps forward and then we take 1 step back. But that doesn't mean you went all the way back to the beginning. I think so often people, when they do encounter a roadblock, or they take that 1 step back, they give up because they think, well, this isn't working. And so to remind ourselves that that's okay, that's part of our journey sometimes, is that we'll have those stumbling blocks, but that we can choose to keep going, and that we can choose to make those obstacles in our way help us become better, and we learn from them, and then you can move forward again after that.
Amy, we've got an email from several people saying, she's so logical, where can I see her? As a licensed social worker, where do you live? You live in Enfield, Maine. I remember you told us that.
Right, in the middle of Maine. So if somebody happens to live here in Maine, yes, you can contact me via my email address is on my website. Otherwise, I don't do any therapy over Skype or anything like that.
So it is www.amy, Amy, Morin, Morin, lcsw.com. You're going to have to go to Maine to be able to see her. Amy Morin, lcsw.com. The book, 13 Things Mentally Strong People Don't Do. Wonderful book. A brilliant rendition of this topic, which many people don't have. And I must admit, it parallels so closely a lot of the things that are needed for what I would call health changes as well, such as you don't waste time feeling sorry for yourself, you forgive yourself, you don't give away your power, you have the power to change, and you don't expect immediate results. We'll be right back for the second hour, and those places that do get the second hour, if you don't, you can always...
Are you one of the millions of Americans whose thyroid gland isn't functioning the way it's supposed to? Well, now there's hope. Introducing Actolin. Actolin is a dietary supplement that contains 17 ingredients that support thyroid function, your adrenal health, your energy metabolism, and your immune health. Actolin's nutrients were handpicked by the renowned holistic practitioner, Dr. David Brownstein. And now, for a limited time, you can get a risk-free trial of Actolin when you enroll in our convenient Smart Ship program and cover the first low shipping and handling fee of $4.95. That's right. Try Actolin as part of our risk-free trial and just pay $4.95 shipping. Learn more and sign up today at ActolinRadio.com. That's ActolinRadio.com or call 800-500-HEALTH. That's 800-500-4325 and mention promo code Actolin Radio. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.
Her Radio with Dr. Pamela Peek, MD.
What we have to do now is we have to demand at the highest levels, National Institutes of Health and big funders, that before any study is done, that male and females are both included and that the sex differences are teased out.
And Michelle King Robeson.
Only 37% of clinical trials today are done on women, and that had to be passed by Congress to even get that done.
The Naked Truth about women.
We as physicians are now being asked to look at many of these medications, start at the lowest dose possible in women.
And the FDA said that too, that, you know, just prescribe the lowest dose. But we need to review all drugs for women.
Live every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern and always on demand at RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio Talk, and the free TuneIn Radio app. Stay well.